13, verses 44 through 51. Listen carefully, for this is God's word for us here today. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a person found it, they hid it again, and then in their joy went and sold all that they had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When they found it, one of great value, they went away and sold everything that they had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into a lake and caught all different kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. They sat down and collected all the good fish in baskets, but threw away the bad. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked, and his disciples replied, yes. May God have the blessing to the reading of his word and grant us understanding today in our hearing. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we begin this series on rethinking who you are and what your teachings are in this world. Lord, help us apply the values that you've given in your word to our lives and help us become your disciples. We pray this in your name, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you've thought about this lately or not, but every one of us is living our lives as part of some sort of plan. And the question really is, whose plan will it be? Is it going to be your own plan or is it going to be God's plan for your life? If we're going to live as a part of God's plan for our lives, we're going to be aligning ourselves with God's kingdom agenda. The word kingdom agenda, the word kingdom is in the Bible over and over and over again. The presence and coming of the kingdom of God was the central message of Jesus when he was here in the world. Let me run you through a couple things about that. For example, his teaching was designed to show men and women how they might enter the kingdom. That's in Matthew 5:20 and 7:21. His miracles were intended to prove that the kingdom of God had come upon the earth. That's Matthew 12:28. His parables, he said, illustrated the truth about the kingdom of God in Matthew 13:11. And when he taught his followers how to pray, how did he teach them how to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Matthew 6:10. On the eve of his death, he assured his disciples that they would yet share with him in the happiness and in the fellowship of a coming kingdom, right? That's in Luke 22:22 through 30. And he promised that he'd appear again on earth in glory to bring the blessedness of the kingdom to those who believe. That's in Matthew 25:31. The term kingdom of God is one of the most often mentioned topics in the New Testament, but I believe it's also one of the most misunderstood topics in the New Testament, and not one we really talk about that often or often enough in our churches. The kingdom of God is mentioned over 80 times in the New Testament. That's a lot. That's one of the most mentioned topics in the whole New Testament. When you talk about a kingdom, you're talking about a king, right? Because in a kingdom, there has to be a king. There has to be a ruler. There has to be one who rules over his subjects, right? So if you're talking about a king, you also are talking about someone who has subjects, people whom which he rules over. You must also be talking, if you're talking about a kingdom, you're talking about a realm. You're talking about a territory over which the king rules. If you're talking about a kingdom, you're also talking about a set of governing and guiding principles that the king wishes that his subjects would align their lives with. Is everybody following with me now? We have a king, we have subjects, we have a realm, and we have guiding and governing principles that the king wants us to guide our lives by. See, the Bible says that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are brought out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. You see, in the realm, in this realm, Jesus Christ is the King of the kingdom. My king is not in Washington. My king is not somewhere else. My king is the king of all that there is, the king of the world, the king of the universe, and that's Jesus Christ. See, the followers of Jesus are the subjects of this kingdom. The governing guidelines and principles are given to us in Scripture, in God's Word. When we learn to live in the light of this king and this kingdom, we're living out what I'm calling the kingdom agenda. That's what we're living out. When we learn to live in light of how the king wants us to live, when we learn to live in light of the guiding and governing principles of Scripture, we're living our lives with the kingdom agenda. The thing is that the world has its own agenda too. Amen? We see this on the front of the newspaper, and it's a very successful agenda. It's successfully destroying lives. It's successfully destroying homes. It's successfully destroying minds. See, the worldly agenda has been bought into by a world that has defected away from who God is. We see it all the time, and you know, it's one of those things that over and over and over again, I'm touching the lives of people, and people are coming to me bringing their loved ones who are struggling with heroin overdoses or with addiction, and they're talking to me about their hurt and their pain associated with their loved ones who've now centered their lives on striving and reaching out and trying to get that next high. Over and over again, it seems like we are finding that people are living for a different agenda, and that agenda is the agenda of the world. You see, God has established a new plan for each and every one of our lives and a new way in which He desires us to operate. He wants us to live differently from the world's plans. And the Bible says that when you begin to live your life by the ways that God would have you to live, you begin to live it in the joy that can only be given by your Creator. When you begin to live your life by the way God would want you to live, you receive a joy that you can't get anywhere else. There's a passage of Scripture in Psalm 128, 1 through 6. It says, "Blessed are all those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your spouse will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." I'm ready for my children to be olive shoots around my table, right? Yes, this will be a blessing for the person who fears the Lord, it says. This passage of Scripture uses this term blessedness, which means authentic happiness and real happiness. Blessings in the Bible aren't some kind of cotton candy type of happiness. The thing goes with cotton candy. Anybody like cotton candy? Yeah, cotton candy happiness is that it's so sweet to the taste, but it just doesn't last long enough. You ever notice that about cotton candy? When you put it in your mouth, it melts instantly, but its longevity is short-lived. When you put in your mouth that cotton candy, it's there, you like it, you taste the sweetness, then it's gone. And the worldly agenda offers us a cotton candy type of happiness. It's real sweet, but it just doesn't last long enough. See, blessings in the Bible. Now, if you have a pen and paper, I want you to write down what's coming up on the screen right now, because blessings in the Bible had to do with resources that were deposited within a person on the inside of God's followers that helped override circumstances that were on the outside. Gary, you got to go forward. There we go. Blessings in the Bible had to do with resources that were deposited on the inside of a person that help override the circumstances that are on the outside of a person. And this is what we need to establish our values and our decisions on, is something that God places inside each one of us that can make a difference on the circumstances that are outside of us. A few years ago, my kids all go to Southern Indiana Pediatrics. I don't know if you have your kids that go there or not, but my kids go to Southern Indiana Pediatrics, and I remember Zeke was sick enough to stay home from school. Now, if Zeke's sick enough to stay home from school, then you know he's really sick. He's laying around, and I know that he can't really do much. But I remember taking him in there, and they have a sick waiting room, and they have a well waiting room. So you go into the sick one because you don't know what's going on with him. You open up the door, but they have all these toys in the sick waiting room. And I can remember Zeke, he had to be maybe 5, maybe 6 years old. I remember him sitting there, you know, he's still like this, you know, he's still sick, but he's still, you know, he still has his motor running a little bit. And he sees all those toys out and around him, and you know, he's huffing and puffing, but he's, by golly, he's going to get up and he's going to play with those toys because he's never seen those toys before. He doesn't have those toys at home, so he gets up and he starts playing. I can tell he's wiping sweat. He doesn't really want to be playing, but he can't help himself but not play. You see, this is the thing. When God blesses us, He builds something worthwhile inside of us that even though when we're huffing and puffing on the outside, God gives us something on the inside that is designed to help us cope with the struggles that are on the outside. That's what God does for you, and that's what God does for me. If you allow Him to be the king of your lives, if you allow Him the authority, and you allow His guiding principles to be the principles by which you govern your life, God will change the inside of you so that when the outside circumstances around you change and you're in rough waters, you're able to cope with those circumstances in ways that you've never, ever been able to before, because God is there guiding you through Him and you know that He's real and that He's there with you. See, God declares to you and me that the world's agenda should not define our world. See, you know, I could tell you that if you come to Christ, there won't be any more asthma attacks. There won't be no more diabetes. There won't be no more cancer. If I could tell you, if you come to Christ, there are going to be no more aggravations, there are going to be no more frustrations and no more struggles. If I could tell you that, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But if I told you that, that would be a lie. See, what I can tell you is if that we take on the kingdom agenda of the King, our lives will be better. What I can tell you is that our lives are better with God than without Him. You know, there's going to be asthma attacks. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be aggravations. There's going to be situations that just don't go your way. But our lives are better with God than without Him. And that's what we're declaring as we come here in this place this morning. I want you to look at the person next to you, please. Take a look at him. Say, there's something wrong with you. Tell him right now. There's something wrong with you. There's something definitely wrong with you. Tell him. Now, that is true. That's a true statement. There's something definitely wrong with them. We all know that. We can get past that, right? But there's also something wrong with you, the person next to them. There's something wrong with every one of us here. That's the reason we're here, because, see, Jesus said it's not the well that need the doctor, but the sick. We're here. This is a hospital. This is a place where people come that allow themselves to be opened and their wounds to be healed by the Savior who can heal them. That's why we're here in this place. See, the thing is we got to ask ourselves a question, and I think this is a really telling question. Whether you answer this question one way or another is going to really tell me whether you get this and where we're going with this series or not. The question is am I in alignment with the King? Am I in alignment with the King? It's a truth-telling question. Because maybe the reason why what we touch, what we relate to, and why it's always out of alignment is because I'm not in alignment with the King myself. And you know, it's easy for us. I know it is. You can see all the junk in other people's lives. And you wish they'd clean up their backyard. But it's hard to see and look at those precious heirlooms of your past that you want to hold on to. It's hard to clean those things out of your closet, isn't it? And that's what oftentimes happens. We got to get ourselves in alignment with the King. Because if you're riding in a car that's out of alignment, guess what happens? It's a bumpy ride. Things don't go so well, right? Tires wear thin, sidewalls wear out, and the car shimmies and shakes all over the place. If you're out of alignment from where the King wants you to be, it's no wonder that your life is shimmering and shaking and not where you want it to be. God wants to bring you a happiness that doesn't come from the circumstances of the world, but a happiness that comes from knowing who He is in your life. That's where God wants you to be. That's who God wants to bring you to. You see, a messed up individual contributes to a messed up family. A messed up family contributes to a messed up church. A messed up church contributes to a messed up community. A messed up community contributes to a messed up state. A messed up state contributes to a messed up country. And a messed up country contributes to a messed up world. So if you want to make a better world, it's going to start with making a better you. It's going to start with you making a decision on, am I going to be in alignment with the principles and guidelines of the King? See, when Jesus assembled his disciples, he sent them out to preach the good news. The sermon was, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So there has to be, if you want the kingdom of God to be near to you, it's going to start with repentance, isn't it? It's going to start with a heart that makes concessions to God and says, God, I'm not all who you want me to be. Help me to be all who you want me to be. I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need to know the values that you want in my life. I need you to guide and direct my path. Surround about me people who help me be the man or woman that you desire me to be and be the faithful disciple of yours. You see, the kingdom, Jesus said, as small as a mustard seed and as quiet as yeast in bread. But it's powerful things come in small packages, and it doesn't necessarily make a lot of noise. See, we don't have to create the kingdom of God. All we have to do is claim to be a part of it. We have to claim it in our lives. We don't build the kingdom of God. We only bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day, there's a teacher of the law that came up to Jesus. I don't know if you remember this story. And he asked him, you know, of all the commandments, what's the most important? And before Jesus can even get a lot of words out, the man starts sputtering out what his answer is. Immediately, the professor says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, very good, you're not far from the kingdom of God. See, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I want to tell you this morning, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from where you need to be. You're close to living a purposeful life. You're nearly a better person. You're close to being what you ought to be. You're almost a person of faith, that you just may look together into your hearts and say, I'm going to fully commit myself and align myself with the ways of the King, then you're there. When you say to yourself, I'm going to align myself with the ways of the King, and when I fall short, this is the one of the most difficult decisions that I've ever made in my life, is realizing what it really truly means to be a Christian, because I lived my life like a lot of you for a lot of years. I lived my life thinking that if I was going to be a Christian, if I was going to follow after Jesus, my life had to be perfect. And then I realized there ain't no perfect life. And yes, I know correct English, and I'm saying there ain't no perfect life. There ain't none. Is there? There ain't no perfect life. And I don't care if you're the pastor of Southeast Christian, or you are the guy at the homeless shelter that last night spent himself injecting something into his arm. There ain't no perfect life. There's only perfect confession and repentance. There's only perfect repentance. That's all there is. And once you get it, you realize what it's about. It's about realizing that, hey, I'm in need of a Savior. I, Jim Moon, am in need of a Savior. I need Jesus today just like I needed Him yesterday. Even though I may be a little bit better than I was this time last year, I still need Him today. I still need Him to guide my life. It's a continual process of saying, I need to submit myself to You. My dad, I love my dad, and he's a good man. It was so difficult for him to say his sorry. Anybody live with someone like that? Raise your hand if you know someone like that. It was so difficult, but see, what I realize right now is that part of being a Christian man or a Christian woman is the ability for you to say to somebody, I'm sorry because my sin has gotten in the way of your life. Can you do that? Can you say to somebody else, my sin has gotten in the way of your life. I've made this mistake and it's hurt you. I've fallen short. I've not been the man or woman that I need to be. That is being committed to being along the guiding principles of Jesus' kingdom, is saying to someone else, I've fallen short. It's a hard place to be. I know it is. It's a hard place for me to be too. But yet, that's part of what it means to be with Him. See, the kingdom of God is priceless. There's a story about Abraham Lincoln, and he was out, he had a store, and he was out rummaging through an old barrel, and it was actually supposed to be a barrel of trash. And when he was rummaging through the barrel of trash, one of the things that he found was some Blackstone's commentaries. A commentary is someone's opinion about Scripture, and he got interested in them, and he got them out of the trash can, and he began to read these Blackstone commentaries, and then from there he went on to be a lawyer, from there he went on to be the President of the United States, and from there he helped lead us through some of the most troublesome times our country has ever had. And when he looked back and when he talked about what changed his life, he said, if I wouldn't have been rummaging around in that trash can, my life would have been a whole lot different. Because it's what I found in those commentaries and when I found Jesus that my life changed direction. Does your life need to change a direction? Does it need to turn a corner? Does it need to go a different way? Because Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a man plowing out in a field. He doesn't even own the field. He's just tilling up the ground. The old plow uncovers some kind of buried treasure out there, and it changes the man's life forever. It was more important than any other find he'd ever made, so he went home, he sold everything that he had. I can imagine what his wife said, right? He sold everything that he had, and he went out and he bought that field because it was worthwhile. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a merchant. He's looking for a fine pearl. And as he shuffles through the market with a sack of his own pearls, he discovers a pearl worth more than every one of the ones that he owns. So sacrificing his entire inventory, he purchases that one pearl of great value. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is costly, but it's worth it. Jesus never hesitates to ask for our all, for our everything. Now, I think that's kind of the problem with religion, isn't it? If we could just give our leftovers, if we could just give Him a little bit of our devotion here and there, if we could just offer Him a little bit of our attention, a little part of our lives, a little section of our days, it'd be okay to have a tinge of religion. But there's something about Christ when He comes to us. And here's what He tells us. Look at me when I'm saying this. He says, I want all of you. I want everything. He says, I'm willing to give you my everything, but I want all of you. Let me tell you, it's worth the price. The kingdom of God can't come till our aspirations of building our own kingdoms, our own worldly kingdoms, are sacrificed. Somewhere down in the depths of our heart this morning, every person here has to ask themselves the question, will I go out to build my own kingdom or will I go out to embrace the kingdom of God? Because that's what this is about. If you want to rethink Jesus, if you want to change your life, you're going to have to answer the question, am I going to go out and build my kingdom or am I going to build the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God comes when the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the things we pray for, the good Lord gives us the courage to work for. I don't know if you've ever prayed, and I always tell people, there's no reason for you to pray about something when your own hands can do what you're praying for. Don't pray for someone else to be comforted when you can go write them a note and comfort them. You ever think about that? It's silliness. God probably thinks that's pretty silly, doesn't he? We'll pray for someone to be comforted or someone to have someone next to them and guide them, but yet you're there praying about it, and God says, you go. You go be with them. If your own hands can be the answer to your prayers, save the prayer and be the answer. But sometimes we need to pray because the answer is beyond the scope of where we are. Sitting there with Glenn Bonsett yesterday, you know what? When somebody who's had a great, full life is coming to terms with what it means to be the end of their life, that's a tough place to be, wouldn't you say? But every person on the sound of my voice, whether it's tomorrow, the next day, or someday way out in the future, we're going to have to come to that moment. And we're going to have to look over the scope of our lives. We're going to have to ask ourselves, have I really been in alignment with the King? Because where I'm going, it's only going to be the King or nothing. Where I'm going, it's going to be His governing, guiding principles, or it's going to be nothing. It's going to either be the praise of Him or the praise of what the world has to offer. I've got to make a choice, and it starts right now. You can have the happiness of heaven in this moment by living a heavenly life and being there in service and sacrifice to the people that God loves. That's where He wants you to be. That's who He's called us to be as men and women who follow after Him. The secret to a fruitful life is this. Find where God is. That's where you need to be. Find what God is doing in this world, and that's what you need to be doing in this world. Skip ahead a little bit, Gary. In November 2011, I spent some time in Kansas, and I went back to the church that I first gave my life to Christ in. I don't know if you've ever been back to that place, and if you've given your life to Jesus, if you've ever spent some time and went back to that very spot, you know? The actual place where, I remember I went to the spot, it wasn't this particular church, but it was right here at that church. And I decided I was going to go there because I had some pretty life-changing decisions sitting out in front of me at that time. I remember I knelt down there, and all of a sudden I got overwhelmed with the feeling of what it meant for me to really give my life to Jesus. You know how old I was? It was September 23rd, 1983. I was 6 years old. And I still felt the feelings that I felt then. I felt that, you know, what my life might have been like if I didn't give my life to God. Somehow all the different people that I had related to over the course of my life as a young child began to flash through my mind. And I know where they're at and what they're doing. And their lives didn't turn out so heavenly and so purposeful. And I got to thinking how great God has been in guiding my life. And just the sheer fact that I've allowed Him in to my mind, to guide me in circumstances when they've been out of control, has helped me make some good choices, even when I was making some bad choices too. And I got to thinking that God will not always place you where you want to be, but He will always send you where you need to be. God doesn't always give you the place you want to be, but He's always going to send you where He needs you to be. I guess the question today is, are you willing to allow Him to send you? Are you willing to allow Him to be guiding your life? Because we have two different things going on. We have the kingdom of the world. And when you leave this room, you're going to go back out to the world. You're going to see what's happening out there. And you're going to know that you can be in alignment with it or in alignment with Him. And today, it's my hope as your pastor, as your friend, as someone who cares about you, someone trying to struggle along with you, is you'll make a good choice. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to come before You this morning. I want to thank You so much for this opportunity to come up here and tell Your word to people. God, it's just such a blessing that You are able to guide my life in this way. I can't imagine my life without You. Lord, I pray that You'll help every person the sound of my voice today to help them to guide their lives and be able to point it in the direction that You want them to go. Lord, help them to know that You love them, that You care for them, and that they can make a new start this day. We pray this in Your name. Amen.